Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this letter that we're in 1 Peter continues to remind us how applicable the Word of God is to our lives today. God gets us. He knows exactly what we need to hear. And the applicability just comes bursting out of the pages as we consider 1 Peter. We talked about last week in 1 Peter 1, kind of the main message there. Because we are in the world, we're not of the world, in various and different ways, we suffer. It may be an internal thing, it might be mostly a psychological thing, it might be depression, might be anxiety, it might be fear. Or outwardly, we suffer persecution various ways. People don't like us because we're Christian or because we're just being kind, and that's not what they like. And then we see the tumult in the world, the wars and rumors of wars and all the threats, all the reasons to be anxious. So God is telling us in chapter 1, we're being refined. Don't be surprised, you're being refined. Every one of us going through the undulations of life, we're being refined. And in being refined, God's taken out all the bad stuff within us that we can be the people of God and stand in strength. Then we go on to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, that's where we had the text from last time where Peter is teaching us how to approach this situation. Yearn for the pure spiritual milk. Yearn for the Word of God. That's what's going to protect you as you go through life. The Word of God is a sword of the Spirit. It is the mighty Word of God that creates. He said, let there be light. In the beginning, there was light. Let there be peace. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be a new life. He speaks to you. Yearn for that pure spiritual milk. And in the process, he changes who you are. You're a royal priest. You go out into the world to be that royal priest who stands between God and other people. And now we transition to chapter 3. We're not the only ones aware of our new status of being royal priests. God has this great plan. He wants us to be out there to share his light, to be his salt. And there's someone else who knows that. And his name is the devil. And he does not want you to be a royal priest. He wants you to keep your mouth shut. He wants you to keep your faith to yourself. He does not want you to return good when there is evil. He does not want you to walk as a Christian. So the devil is crafty. You know, we think that people have it bad in other countries, like third world countries. I'm in touch with a good partner in the ministry. He's a deacon there in Africa in the Lutheran church. He's able to preach the Word of God. He's a faithful servant. Frederick Olu is my friend. We've helped him build a house. Some of you contributed to that. Thank you very much. And he's dealing with the things that he deals with in Africa, like tribal wars. Can you imagine having a house, and you don't know if the day is coming when another political entity is going to come in and just ravage and burn your house down? That's what he lives with. They're poor. That's what they're dealing with. But here in America, we don't have those problems. We're not attacked like that. Well, maybe not like that, but we're attacked. And you know what Satan's attack is all about here with us in our world, in our realm? We are wired for sound, man. We have every distraction under the sun bearing down on you with the news, with the political system, with the problems in society, with the darkness, the immorality, the violence, and it's boom, boom, boom. Constant radiation upon you so that you would be distracted and you wouldn't think about God anymore. Satan's plan is twofold. Bombard you, get you worried and anxious about stuff, and then he gets you to do what most people do. And what we're tempted to do is to isolate ourselves. We get behind that big glass called a windshield in our cars, and we have our own little cubby holes. We get to drive around and be alone and listen to our favorite music and it's just me and my vehicle. Or when you want to shut out the world, go into your entertainment room and turn on the TV. There's the other screen, the second screen. And enjoy what's on TV and just get lost in the movie or whatever. And then the third screen, and this one's getting worse, because it's not just this thing we carry around. I mean, it blows me away. You go to a restaurant, you go walking around, you go into a store. We are glued to these things. Tristan Steller's here. He got through that. The angel of the Lord was with him when he got hit by that SUV. But this past week when I was in St. Louis, we've been praying for the children that are on these e-bikes. This past week when I was in St. Louis, Tracy sent me a text. A 13-year-old child was killed in Southern California on his bike. Last Sunday when I was leaving church, there were three young people on their bikes. And the one that was furthest into the lane had earphones on. Are you kidding me? And now we have AI glasses. And we've got these things plugged into our ears. Can you imagine what Satan has accomplished? Look, I'm not saying the tech is bad. God uses the tech for good. But Satan's plan is to get us so distracted and inundated by stuff, you'll have AI glasses, AI earplugs, and AI everything surrounding you so you can be immersed in your own little world, and that way you have every reason to ignore the people around you because we're too busy for people. So on our vacation a couple of weeks ago, I did something I'd never done. It was like, thanks be to God that we do things that we don't plan on doing sometimes. And I just knew it had to be done. So before we embarked to go to Lake Tahoe, I took my cell phone. I'd been trying to be really responsible with my communications to the congregation about I'm going to be gone. We have emergency coverage plan. I've talked to pastors who are available for us. And I gave my phone to Tracy, and I said, put it in your purse. And I didn't touch it for a week. And it was amazing. It was incredible. And then after I got it back, I said, I'm going to do something else. You know, I'd scroll through my screen, and it had like four columns of all these apps on these screens. I reduced it to one. I'm going to stop studying languages on my phone. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm going to stop doing the Facebook thing constantly. We're still putting up services. And I'm going to use it less because I know what's happening. I'm getting my face stuck in the screen, and I don't notice the people around me. And you know what happened to me in St. Louis? I arrived, this was my last meeting for the Board for National Mission. I tendered my resignation. I've served for 12 years. God has let me serve. I had another 6 years eligibility. I said that's enough. I love my board. Phenomenal people. Lord let us do all kinds of things with the president of the Synod and the Synod. But anyway, I was there for my last meeting, and Wednesday night I arrived. I flew in, but didn't get in until really late. It was like 11:15. I'm in the shuttle to go back to my hotel room. I pull out my phone to text my wife that I'm in the shuttle on the way to the hotel, and the bus had stopped for one more pickup at the airport before going on to the hotel. Somebody gets in the shuttle. I'm not even paying attention. I mean, it could have been, you know, Charles Mason or something. What was the guy's name? Anyway. And I'm standing there looking at my phone in the dark, and this other person comes in the dark. They start looking at their phone, and I start dictating to my phone to Tracy. And when the person sitting over here that I hadn't even looked at heard my voice, he looks up. It's a pastor from the East Coast that I work with. He looks up, Pastor Tim Drogemuller. He looks up, he goes, "Brother!" And he stands up, and I go, "Brother!" And we clasp arms. And we're like getting ready to hug, and the shuttle driver slams on the brakes. He's petrified. He turns around and says, "I want none of that on this bus." He thought we were going to fight. But I could have handled that better if I hadn't been stuck to my phone. I could, you know, but just to make a point. So as we go into chapter 3 of Peter, Peter recognizes the devil's attacks to tempt us. Yeah, you're a royal priest, but find a way to keep hiding. Keep hiding. This is a sermon illustration. You see that, Laura? You like that? Keep hiding. Keep hiding. Okay? Keep hiding. And it's going to be easy to hide. You know why? Because you're a Christian. I'm going to make sure other people hurt you. Because you're in the world. I'm going to make sure other people hurt you. And you're going to have more reason to... My Taekwondo instructor won't like that. You're going to have more reason to hide. Because I'm going to send people to hurt you. And we're going to be tempted to hide out in our little cubbyholes. That's what we're going to do. And God is saying in 1 Peter chapter 3, don't go there. Don't go there. The key verse of 1 Peter 3, as we live our lives in Christ, is verse 15. And you're going to see, you may notice that what the reading we have in our bulletin is slightly different than what we have in the Bible. And you see that fluctuation in English translation sometimes. But I'm going to give you the one that we have in the Bible. I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Peter 3:15. I want you to read with me what God wants us to keep before us as those who will not hide. Those who will not hide. And this is on page 1205. 1205. 1205. In 1 Peter 3:15. It's on the upper right-hand quadrant of the page, page 1205. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read together as a people of God. It starts the first four words, but in your hearts. Let us read together as a people of God. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. But in your hearts, right here, where the Lord lives in you, O baptized one, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Incredible words. Before anything comes out of our mouths, before any action is taken, the Lord of Lords is in your heart. And if He is with you, you have nothing to fear. I get concerned sometimes about the predominant figures that we put forth about Jesus. Meek and mild. He was very compassionate, don't get me wrong. But C.S. Lewis got it. Chronicles of Narnia, how was Jesus depicted? As a lion. And when the lion roared, you couldn't miss him. I want you to consider who the Lord of Lords is, that you're honoring your heart who lives with you as you go through life. Check this out. It is utterly amazing. Let's go first to Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Let's go to Ezekiel. And we're going to go to page 822. Page 822. And on page 822, we have Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. I want you to soak in these images of Christ in the Bible. The one who is in your heart, the one who travels with you, the one who is with you is this guy. Check it out. I'm going to give you three references. Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Ezekiel 1, beginning at verse 22. We're going to read 22 through 26. 22 to 26. The first three words are over the heads. Ezekiel 1, 22 to 26. We read together. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse shining like an awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. Let's read now verse 27 and soak in this description of the Lord. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. Now look at the very, very last part of chapter 1. It begins with such was the appearance. And look at the prophet's reaction. Let's read together. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. This is the Lord. And he is holy. And I bow down before him because he is holy. Two more. Please turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, we find on page 888 in our Bibles, Daniel chapter 10. This time, just follow me as I'm going to read out loud. Please follow me. This is picking up at Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, and then we'll read together out loud the last one. But this one, just listen. Daniel 10, verse 5. I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. One more. Ezekiel, Daniel, now Revelation. The very last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. This is on page 1218. 1218. This time we're going to read verses 12 through 17. Revelation 1, 12 through 17. It begins with the words, "Then I turned to see." Revelation 1, 12 to 17. Phenomenal. Let's read together out loud. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he was laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We go out into the world, And this great almighty God, with a fire in his eyes, with the sword of the Spirit, with all glory and grandeur, walks with you. And he says to you, fear not. Fear not. And when Satan tries to get you in that cubbyhole isolated so you can just think about your own problems, take a hike. I've got things to do. I'm a royal priest, and I am here to shine the light of Jesus, the one who walks with me, who is all-powerful in might and authority. I got nothing to fear. So in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, and he is holy. And always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness and respect. You're able to, because Christ has come to you. And as you shine his light through the word of Christ that is within you, that sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit just takes over and says, you know what? Not only do you have nothing to worry about and nothing to fear, you've got a new mission in life. It's to be mine. It is to give an answer, to give a defense, a true testimony that Jesus lives and he loves us and he forgives us and he does something about the fundamental problem that is ailing every single human being on the face of this earth, and it's recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Three things. We talked about it last night in Bible study. Three things in Genesis chapter 3. Number one, a person violates the law of God. They do something they should not have done. They break God's law. They rebel against the holy God. And when that happens, and who does that? Who does that? Everybody does that. And when we do that, according to Genesis 3, the next thing that happens is a person is full of shame. Full of shame. And shame is crushing, and shame is isolating, and it leads to the third thing. The third thing is people run and hide. They hide. They don't want God to see them. They run away from God. Who's going to help them? Who is going to reach out for these people who are running away from God full of shame and doubt? It's us. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Do it with gentleness and respect. For the Lord of hosts is with you, and you have nothing to fear. Go live the life. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Amen.